Hello, everybody. I'm Dahlia, one half of the dynamic duo co-hosts of Nightmare on Fifth Street. We had the pleasure of speaking with Gerardo Preciado, an amazingly talented musician from Mexico. We discussed his music, webcomics, short film, and the documentary that he's currently working on. Alma and I really enjoyed getting to know him, and I really look forward to our next conversation. So not only are you about to listen to that interview, but when you hang out until the end of this episode, you all are going to be in for a treat from Gerardo himself. And now onto our conversation with Gerardo Preciado. Enjoy. Really excited to talk to you about. We have this list of all these things that you do. You do a lot. You're very talented.
Thank you.
But Alma, we're going to start with letting our listeners know who you are. Alma, can you read the bio, please?
Of course. We have Gerardo Preciado here with us, also known as AKA Ancient Order of the Droids, a musician, writer, and filmmaker. As a musician, Gerardo releases soundtracks for imaginary horror films. His inspiration comes from 80s slasher flicks and 70s Italian films. His music plays tribute to Argento, Fulci, and mainly John Carpenter. Gerardo has created webcomics, written short films, and is finishing up work on a documentary on VHS Cultura. He has successfully ran Kickstarter campaigns to release 3 of his soundtracks on vinyl and is currently running another Kickstarter for his newest soundtrack, My Little Slasher.
So, your webcomics. I was looking at you shared 6C and El Cid. So, they're messed right, up, yeah. And I love that. I love that. Totally messed up. Okay, let me discuss, because El Cid was the Western.
Right.
And was, okay, El Cid is the Spaniard, what do they call them? The hired man, like I guess you could say.
Right.
And so, but I find it interesting that for your Western, you have him being like a bad guy, the devil. So that right. was intentional on purpose, right?
Yeah, well, actually, the story came along with both comics that you mentioned. I created with a friend that's, his name is Daniel Baylis. And he actually makes the covers for the albums, like Little Slasher and the other albums. And he came to me with that idea. I thought, I didn't know it's like a folk tale about this guy, El Cid. I actually didn't know about him. So immediately let's do this. You know, like I didn't know what the story was. So it's just make, and I also love, you know, the short stories and twists. And what I do with Daniel, I don't know, it brings like a very dark side out of me for whatever reason.
Well, yeah, that ending was like, oh my God, that's so messed up, but I love it. I love it.
Yeah, actually, everything I do with Daniel, which is called Moonhead Press, it's kind of very dark, and I think if people knew me from that, they will imagine like I'm painted white and very dark, you know, like spiky hair or something.
Exactly, yeah. So Alma was going to bring this up in a little bit, but who did you say is the artist again?
Daniel Baylis.
Okay. 6C. So you made the story for that, and then he drew the way you wanted to tell the story, because that's yes. a silent comic.
Yes. Right? Yes, right. Yeah, a lot of my friends make fun of me because I like silent comics with no dialogue. Because people, I guess, think that story is dialogue, equals dialogue. And to me, story is more about what happens, right? But that comic book was actually a dream I had. And so I just told the dream, and we talked up a little bit, and he illustrated the whole thing.
Some of our listeners haven't seen that comic. Would you explain what that comic 6C was about? And if you don't mind sharing about the dream, or if the dream you don't want to share, that's fine.
Yeah, well, basically it was like, normally when you have a dream, it's like you are experiencing things. And that dream, I was like a fly on the wall on an apartment, and a woman came by, and there was this crazy person that started cutting like the, what do you call that? Like the it's not the palm, right? It's the feet. And it was very intense for me. So that's about it, really.
I am not creative enough to be able to put my dreams on paper like that, or I forget my dreams. So either way, you're not getting right. something out of me like that. So we want to discuss your short film because I loved it, The Shape.
Right.
I really enjoyed that. Was this a dream that you had? Do you have sleep paralysis?
Yes, I did have when I was in college. I studied architecture. So when you don't sleep for many days when you study architecture. So that's when I was exhausted and stressed out. I had, like, it was a couple of years where I had that experience. And so, yeah, this was giving it. So it's just a 2-minute story, but we try to have like a reason for it and create a sort of a little mythology behind it in under 2 minutes. So that was the idea. And we had other ideas to expand that sort of the universe, let's say. But yeah, the idea of having something in 2 minutes that has a beginning, middle, and end, and a sort of a little twist. I think my brother directed that short, first of all. So I think that it came out, I like how it came out. And also like the little monster that comes out, that's my sister, my little sister. So it's all in the family.
Oh my God, I love that. I love that.
My brother entered that in a contest. And so we wanted to have, again, like a very, very short story. And like I'm huge on that, like, and writing, it's very important to finish things, right? So make something short and finish it. It's kind of, it's like my motto. Like, is that how you say it? So, and going back to, I just wanted to tell you a little story that we had a short film that we made earlier, like 10 years before The Shape. It's called Dead Racer versus the Vampire Women. So it's like a grindhouse thing, and the character gets his arm chopped off, like with a chainsaw, and has blood and guts and stuff. And so my friends ask me, like, what does your mother think when she sees that, right? And I tell them, who do you think is holding the chainsaw? Like, my mother was there when we recorded.
I love it.
That is very sweet. It's sweet. I like that. I said, that's cool. But I watch it because I have a lot of sleep paralysis, but you mentioned because of sleep deprivation, when you haven't slept, that's one of the big triggers. So I really like, personally, like this short story, you can see how this short could be expanded into its own universe, made into a whole movie or a series.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you've seen the Nightmare documentary that is about sleep paralysis.
No, I have not.
It's scarier than a scary movie. Yeah. Because
that's definitely always interesting to us.
I don't know if this is what happens to you, but like in that documentary, what it's about is that we all see kind of the same black shape when we have that sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that there were like 3 types of shapes, like one scarier than the other. And I got, like, I always got the regular like humanoid shape, but there's one that I only saw myself once that has like a hat.
That's the scariest element. It's like, how do we all see or feel these same exact experiences? The shape, I have a lot of sounds that come with mine, banging, screaming sometimes, but the shapes thing is, since I was little, and I do have a lot of problems falling asleep. So that's where we see it. But talking to my sisters, because we all have it in our family, we can talk about it. And it's, I think that's why we always found a big interest in horror and scary stories and things, because it's something that we all shared in common growing up.
Right.
I love the fact that your sister was the monster.
My brother and my sister and my mother created that. It looks like a little bit like a Jim Henson 80s type of. When I wrote the screenplay, but like 3-page screenplay for that. Like I talked to my brother, and there were many, many ideas thrown at what would the shape be. Like at what time it was like a naked guy or something. Like we could have gone, it could have gone in many different ways, but that's what they could come up with, like in that week that they had to do it.
That's so funny that you say that, because when I saw it, I thought very Dark Crystal, and Dark Crystal scared the crap out of me when I was little. Okay. So I want to talk about your documentary. It's not finished yet.
Right. We have to finish it like this month or next month, I think. But my brother is the one who's editing, and I'm making the music for it. And we made a Kickstarter last year. And because of the pandemic, like I think it was an advantage, because a lot of people just sent us their stuff. We didn't have to travel, which was the intention. But I think it's gonna come out like my brother just sent me like the intro. He and my mother and my sister recreated like the intro for the thing from your Carpenters. And then made like this little, like, it's not an animation, it's a real life thing with, I don't know how to describe it, but a real effect. So hopefully we're going to finish it next month.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay, so it's on VHS Cultura. You collect VHS or this? Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I lost some of them, which I regret. You know, I had a ton of, actually, like, my brother, funnily, it's like the horror guy in my house when my growing up. Mm-hmm. Like, he's 4 years older, but which now is not like a huge difference, but when he was like 10 and I was 6, there was like he was a grown up. So I watched every horror movie, and of course we rented at the VHS, you know, like the video store. And so I think that what I do is very much because I grew up with all those things around, and I didn't think like that it was weird. Mm-hmm. Like as just recently somebody told me that, that's so weird that you made short films when you were like a kid, like a teenager. Because we started making short films back in the early 90s, and I was always a child pretending to be like an adult, right? And we made like like a luchador films, like monsters and stuff like that.
So are you still getting the VHS? Are you still collecting them, or this is just like the old stuff?
I wish I had more. Like I, because of the documentary, we went back and we recovered some of our old stuff. But yeah, I'm one of those people that like that collects vinyl and books and VHS, because it's almost like the smell is like gets you a little bit high, you know, right? Like you walk into a old bookstore or something.
Is it in English or Spanish, the documentary?
It's in, mainly in English, because we had most people are from England or American, right? But we have people from Italy, from Australia, and I'm thinking that from Spain. So it's more a little bit because we're from Mexico and we have like an outsider view of things. Like we're trying to portray that, like. And a lot of that stuff, like the VHS, like, we are focusing on, you know, like the weirder films that weren't like in theaters and then on VHS. Like they went straight to VHS. They had some very cool artwork that tricked you into renting it, and then the poster had nothing to do with it, with the actual movie. And yeah, those type and. We have a chapter on video nasties. Like there was a huge thing in the UK where they banned. Mm-hmm. There's a list of banned films. Yep. So yeah, it's mainly in English, I guess. But we have people from all over the world.
And you said that you're doing the music.
Yes, which is the whole reason for making the thing for me. Which is a nice segue to talk about the soundtracks. But because I've made music for, you know, I was actually, again, Daniel, the artist who I make comic books, we were in a band when we were in our 20s and stuff. And I just kept doing the music thing. And I always, even when I was like a band, or a rock band or alternative band, I always tried to have like a instrumental things like, oh, like my take on a sort of Halloween kind of theme or stuff mm-hmm. like that. But when that band broke up, like I went full ahead into synthesizers and stuff like that. And so I always like wanted to make film music, right? And this was before like synthwave was a thing. Like now it's a whole thing, like a whole culture behind like that type of music. Mm-hmm. Back then, there wasn't like even in the scene, like my thing is weird. Like I'm not even, you know, not even a part of the scene, like the synthwave scene. But anyways, like I started making this instrumental music and trying to get my music to short films and stuff, right? And so I became like I'm very like okay, so no. If I can't get my music in real films, like I'm gonna create like an imaginary film, because I'm not a real. It's not gonna stop me that I don't have a real film, right? So I made like a series, and also like I don't know if you guys like are collectors, but there's like there are like some indie labels that release like these weird films from the 80s, like Italian films and stuff, and I love the feeling of. Right, of discovering like something that you didn't knew existed. Like, why? Wait, what? How come I didn't? So that's what I do with the soundtracks is like to try to fool people into thinking that this was a real thing before. And I took a lot of inspiration in Italian films like Lucio Fulci and stuff. So like, I don't know if you're like that sort of thing, but like there's a film by Lucio Fulci, like this called Zombie, which was the sequel to Dawn of the Dead. Like Dawn of the Dead came out in 78, I think, and that year, like the Italians made Dawn of the Dead in Italy was called Zombie. So in Italy, they to make money off it, they made Zombie 2, but like. When they released it in the United States, it was called Zombie One because there wasn't Zombie One in the United States. So when I made an album that's called Zombiria, which is like the zombie Jesus and stuff. But anyway, I released like Zombiria One and Two are the same record, they're the same albums. Just one has a little bit of extra scenes because I want the people who discovered it to have that confusion that I had when I rented the same film. But it's called different, right? So I make all this stuff for me.
That's the best way to do these things. Make it for yourself. That way you're having fun and you enjoy it. And then, hey, you'll find a crowd to like it.
Yeah.
The thing I found the most interesting was because when I read that, it was like this imaginary soundtrack. The music, when you listen to it, it's like you feel it, you know, you can use your imagination, you're using your creativity. But when I saw the Zombie One, too, the thing, I was wondering, that sounded familiar. But sometimes I had a familiar sense to it thinking, was this a movie? But I can see right. why you said to kind of trick you into thinking
I
that
fooled
this
you.
Was. Yeah, I was very fooled.
Yeah, just to answer the question you asked earlier. So, that's like I'm going to make a real film, even if I have to do it myself. Like I'm going to have my music on a film, even if I have to do it myself. So that's what when the idea of the documentary came in. Like my brother had the idea for the documentary, so I took that like okay, this is the next thing, right? And also, again, like this is my fourth Kickstarter for the albums. which is like very few. These are not like an album, like vinyl record, you get press. I don't know if you're familiar, like you make those plaques and stuff. But these are I make a run. There are so few records that they are actually recorded like one by one. So we made like only like 50 or so records. And again, just to, how do I top the one before? So that's when the idea of writing the screenplay for the soundtrack came in. Because like as a writer, like I write the comic books and stuff, but like it's very hard for people to read like your screenplay, right? That's like the worst thing you can say to your friend, right? And so it's like, how do I, because I don't want, it's so much effort. It takes a lot out of you to write something and then, you know, to not be able to publish it or share it. So that's when it came to me, okay, so I can have like both things, they complement each other. That's mm-hmm. when I thought it was a cool idea to have it. And also, with Daniel, the artist, like we wrote the closing credit song. This is like a hair metal power ballad. Yes. And in the story, the child writes the lyrics and stuff. So it just went all out on this one. But I don't know how I'm going, if I'm going to be able to top it. Like I'm going to have to do an actual movie next time.
There you go. Well, I really, really enjoyed it because, like you said, I could see that, not see, but hear that 80s, you know, just kind of hair band. That's what I call it, like the 80s hair band feeling. And it was just so fun to listen to. You said you wrote the screenplay for it. So that's part of the Kickstarter then, right?
It's going to have like the physical, the vinyl and the screenplay in like a paperback format, like mm-hmm. a comic book. Because back in the 90s, like my brother, I didn't have money, so my brother was the one who bought things, right? But he used to have like the screenplays for the Tarantino films, and they were in this format, like a comic book. So that's when I make comic books too, so that's when the idea came to release it as that. And also like in digital, right? But yeah, that's just the idea, is to like, because mainly it's instrumental music what I do, right? So this is kind of like mm-hmm. instrumental music, and the screenplay is kind of like a lyrics of the music mm-hmm. and stuff. So
yeah,
I thought it was And also like every soundtrack I try to, like I do mainly like the John Carpenter, you know, electronic stuff. But in the Kickstarters, like I did like a disco record, and the Zombirio one has like mm-hmm. guitars, is like a more like a classic rock. And this one I wanted to mm-hmm. to it sounds more awesome that it came out, but I wanted to make like John Carpenter meets John Williams, right? So that was the idea of having like strings and then like electronica sections mm-hmm. and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so I want to talk about the actual Kickstarter. You have a goal, and you're really close to the goal, actually.
Yeah. Well, again, like I do a very, very short run of records, and mm-hmm. some of them, like we have the screenplay and, you know, the T-shirts and stuff, like stickers, pins and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we are close, because we like most of the people who are backing it, this one are the ones that back the other ones, right? So it's more about continuing to build a little bit each time. And so we ask for, it's not a, for just enough to get the records made. Basically, just what we ask for is to get the things made. Mm-hmm. Really, that's it. Like, and I'm happy. I don't care that we lose a little bit, you know, because making the Kickstarter like makes it, people get a little bit more involved than just putting mm-hmm. out the music, right?
Like you said, you're also building this very loyal following, this community that is growing, and these are the people that are going to want to see your movie when you make it.
Right. Well, I hope so. And, you know, like, again, just to follow through on the like each album is like a different genre of music, and so I have people who said, "Oh, I love Trombira, but I hate the Giallo one because it's disco." And so I love that, you know, it makes me feel like a real artist when somebody tells you to your face that you were better before, you know, that your last album was better than the new one. That makes me feel like a real, that I made it.
I like that. That's funny.
Well, I was just going to add that, to be honest, like, really, who wants to listen to even your favorite artist? You want change. You want development. You want a variety even within that. And it's difficult. Like, I might like an artist and they have a song that I like, but then all the rest of the songs sound the same. I like the originality in each one.
But also, I think that it's like, how do I say it? Like, this year I'm going to release, like, my Little Slasher is, like, I think is the fifth soundtrack I released this year. And in October, I have a soundtrack for a raunchy 80s comedy that's called Dracula, the College Years. And I'm going to write the screenplay for that next. And I have, like, a Christmas album coming up, like a Christmas about a killer Santa Claus and stuff. But that's what, like, if you were to make, like, the same kind of music over and over, you will not be able to keep it fresh, right? So, okay, now I'm going to do, like, before making the music for a film, like, in my head at least, I have the idea of, oh, this is like a super bad director. This is going to make a really bad movie. And so I have to imagine first who's going to direct the film. Like some films, like The First Terrore, like that is, to me, that's, oh, that's a good film. And the rest, all the sequels are garbage. But the music in some is better than the other one. So I have like a timeline of all these films. And again, like you said, like to keep you inspired, like you have to, like, okay, so I'm going to make music with the guitar now or with this instrument or that theme or whatever, right? And that's how you are able to make more, right?
So I have to ask this because we are a horror movie podcast. So I want your favorite horror movie and your favorite horror subgenre. Like, what type of horror movies you like?
Well, my favorite horror movie, I think, is the original Texas Chainsaw. Because, like, again, when we were little, when I was little, like, I was shown everything, like the Friday 13, the Freddy and stuff. And that one was the one that, like, stuck with me the most. And also when, in the 90s, when I was, like, when I was a teen myself, they started, like, Scream and all these movies came out. Like, I felt that, oh, those are for me. Because when I saw the other ones, I was too young. But at that time, like my brother, he started showing me VHS of the Italian stuff. And so I like the Suspiria is maybe kind of, depending on the day, it might be Texas Chainsaw or Suspiria, my favorite horror film. And subgenres, I think like I'm very much into discovering those like lost 80s Italian horror. Because I'm not one of those people that likes to like watch a film and laugh at the director because they're bad, you know. I'm more like, oh, this is like a so unique vision of the world. Like this person sees the world so completely different, right? Or they don't have the resources to do the special effects and stuff. And I relate a lot to that. Like I'm very aware. Like if you like as an artist are trying to do something cool, like it's, you walk the line of, this is, I always like to walk the line of, this is going to be great, or this is going to be like the worst thing I ever do. And that's a very easy thing to, you know, you have no control, you have no idea, right? How your work is going to be perceived. So I very much relate to those, quote unquote, bad directors, you know?
Okay, so you don't have to say if you liked the movie or not, because I know people either love it or hate it, and there's like fighting online, but did you watch the movie Malignant?
Malignant, yes. I think that I still in my mind don't know if it's a good movie or a bad movie, but what I do know is that it surprised me. And I think that's even better, you know? So that's like a real joy or a real gift to when you see something that when you go, I don't know what's going to happen next. I have no idea what, that's priceless. So it's going to end up for sure like in my top 10 films of the year. But I don't know if it's a good or a bad one, but it was very surprising. And actually, like the supposedly he was influenced by Giallos. Like, and when I was watching like the first half, I was like, what are you talking about? This does what Giallos, this has nothing to do with it, right? But then I got it. Like, oh, okay. So this is like on steroids, right? Yeah. Like this. It's crazy. So I think you have to see it, even if you end up not liking it, right? You have to watch it. You're only because it's very fun to be surprised, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because usually you expect, you have a feeling, you have an idea of what's going to happen. But the reason I asked you, yeah, is because you said that you like those Italian horror films, and everybody was talking about the inspiration for this one. So
well, I read a lot of commentary about the music in it as well. As a musician, what did you think of the music? Because my family even brought it up while we were watching it. It was like, what is that song and what is that beat?
Honestly, like I was in shock with what happened on screen, but I'm it's funny because, like, when I watch a film, if you had a gun to my head and asked me, like, what happens in Texas Chainsaw, write it down on a piece of paper, I will not be able to do it because I don't experience films like it. It's all about the feeling. So I remember the feeling, but I'm not good at remembering, like, things. And that's what happened with this one, like, there's stuff on there that I'm not going to be able to forget, right? But the experience, that's like the main thing. So I don't particularly remember the music per se because what happened on screen was way more crazy.
I think we have the same similar background, well, because we're sisters. I think we watch movies a lot and it's the experience of it. And like you mentioned, like we always will walk away from a movie and have a usually positive experience because we appreciate the work that somebody put into making the movie.
Yeah, and I think like that exactly because once you try to make your own film, you know how difficult it is. So once you made a very bad film or whatever, so it's very hard to be cruel towards someone who's trying to do something because you know how, you know, I find that people who are, you know, very vocal about this is trash and stuff, they don't know how hard it is, right? Or how hurtful it can be to realize yourself that you made something that is not good, right? And to just to follow through on the like I realized that because I think more like in feelings, so that's why the instrumental music comes easier for me. Like I think the screenplay writing is a little bit more like conscious work because it's harder, right? To translate ideas into words. But when it's feelings and in music, instrumental, this is pure feelings. That's why I think that I'm attracted to that side.
You said it perfectly, the feeling. So I'm just going to, before we end here, I need to give a confession because this is so funny. When I was younger and when I was feeling sad or mad or something, in my head, I used to make up a soundtrack of like if I was a movie and somebody was watching me, I had the music going on in my head and I would imagine myself in the movie crying or being angry. So I think it's funny that you said that about the feelings because that's literally what I used to do when I was little, especially if I got in trouble. Those were the best soundtracks in my head.
I think there's a meme and I relate totally to that where there's someone on a bus like looking out the window and he's like, oh, I'm pretending to be in a movie, you know? So I relate to that, like, very aware, right? Or how this is going to look, if this were a movie, how I should sit, right?
Yeah, I like that.
I love it when we can have just a conversation with somebody with similar interests, and you get to somebody who's interesting like you, with that you just have a variety of things to talk about.
No, I do have one more question. The horror scene in Mexico, how does it differ? How is it the same as like here in the United States?
Well, I don't think that like there's like a horror scene on our list. I'm in northern Mexico, so I'm way closer to the United States than I am to Mexico City. But like Mexico has always been like a real big into horror, right? And there are a few young filmmakers like you interview actually like Gigi Saul Guerrero, right? So there are many like coming up like younger filmmakers, but I don't know if there's a scene, but there's a lot of people. That make short films and stuff like us. But again, we are like in the middle of the desert. We feel sometimes that we are far from everything, but with the internet, you know, like we are closer than ever before, right? So, and one last, I'm sorry, but since you're making confessions, right? Like this is like the first podcast I'm on. And I thought that because I thought that it was going to be in 2 hours, I didn't get time to get nervous. So thank you for that.
I'm happy that we are the first podcast. And it's funny because me and Alma talk about that too. We get nervous when we're going to be talking to someone as creative as you every single time.
So I was just going to like write my own notes.
Oh.
Like, because I thought I'm going to blank and I like, have to have like, this is my name, right? You are like the first person, like American or person to get my name right, because I always like, there was this like TV show host, Geraldo with an L. And there's all the, and when I was a kid, there was like the only famous Gerardo that has ever walked the earth is Gerardo, the rapper, the guy with who came out with Rico Suave. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes,
so
I forgot about him.
So I was like, for a summer, I was known as Rico Suave, but that sounds like super cool if you look like, you know, Lorenzo Lamas or, you know, someone, but I was like a chubby kid, you know, so it wasn't cool at all to be called Rico Suave, but luckily for me, he was like a one-hit wonder, so no more.
Yeah, I don't know any other songs that he did, but we were born and raised right along the Texas border. Between right. Texas and Mexico. So when you say northern Mexico, we're only like, 20 miles from the border? Me. And then my mom was born in
San Luis? She was born in Veracruz, but she grew up in Tamaulipas in Valle Hermoso. So that's where my mother's from. And our father is from San Luis Potosí, Matehuala.
Mm. Wow. So I actually lived in Ciudad Juarez for a while. And so I used to go to El Paso when I was a kid, And I'm originally, I was born in the city of Chihuahua, which is a real place.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I have a... And I'm guessing that's where the dogs are or came up, right?
And I have a little... Right?
Right, exactly. And I have a little Chihuahua dog, and we get along. And I say that is because we are the same breed.
Oh, that's so cute. Where is the Chihuahua? We always want to see the animals.
I'm at the office today, so I don't have it with me, but I'll send you a picture.
What's his name?
Pepper.
Pepper.
Aww. We love dogs. We have dogs and cats everywhere. I have 2 dogs, and she has 3 dogs. I have 3 cats.
Well, actually, the idea for my little slasher came also because I have a 5-year-old, and I watched, like a couple of years ago, I watched all the Air Bud films, like this Golden Retriever that plays basketball, And I noticed that they have like the same structure, you know, like, so it was okay. I wanted to do like the kid and his dog, but this time like a kid with a Jason kind of slasher as a friend. So that's where, and so if you,
cool.
in the screenplay, there's, you know, that those arcs where, oh, he has to say goodbye to his friend and he's very sad, you know?
We watched all of those too because of my kids, all the Air Bud movies and the puppies and the space buddies and the haunted ones and everything.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm sorry about the time mess up with us. I am the one that always doesn't make it very bold in our email. So that's 100% my fault. I'm sorry. So tell us where our listeners can follow you, like on social media, website, whatever.
Well, I'm all over the place as it's Musique di Diable, which you will spell a lot better than me. But with my name on Twitter and Instagram, Instagram is where I'm, I post the most or most available. So just search my name, Musique di Diable. Like, this is my whole thing. This is my one-man record label. That's where I do all the stuff.
And we will put everything on our show notes, all the links to your all your Instagram. Did you say Twitter?
Yeah. Twitter, Facebook.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome. You follow.
Not on TikTok because I'm too old to start to be on TikTok. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I have no idea what TikTok is. Well, actually, just a little funny story. Like, I found out that one of my songs, one of the soundtracks from Terrore 5, had like a million streams. Uh-huh. And it sounds like, and I thought, a million streams, I'm going to be like rich, right? But there's like $5, you know, what? Because it's TikTok. And there's like this whole thing of people dancing to a track of mine that's called Aerobica. So they just search aerobics, I guess. And there's like very, like, and mostly like very old women dancing to this, which is very strange to me. But there you go. I am on TikTok in some way.
I'm looking it up right now because I'm very curious.
I'm going to send you the link to it. There's one in particular that that's so freaky. That's like a horror film. Like, this woman is. It's terrifying.
That's funny. I'll have to look at it later.
You're famous on there.
Okay. Well, again, thank you so much. We will also share your link for your Kickstarter so that that can hopefully, you know, be fully funded sooner rather than later. I'm sure waiting for that number to get hit is kind of like, is nerve-wracking, I'm sure. Okay, when I press stop record on this conversation, we continued talking for much longer. Gerardo is really a great person, and get this, he even gave us, Alma and me, here on Nightmare on Fifth Street, the honor of premiering his music, the main theme for his upcoming documentary, Cult of VHS. And you guys, it's amazing. I fucking love it. So we are honored that he sent this to us, and now I'm going to shut up, and you guys get to enjoy. Here you go.